Amen. If you all can kneel, let's do so, so we can pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for blessing us on the Sabbath day with life. Thank you for giving us all that we need to get through the week so that we can gather together as one in your name and in your Son's name with the Holy Spirit present. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us and helping us do this work. Thank you for giving us the wisdom, the courage, the faith, the hope, the discernment, everything, and long-suffering and peace and gentleness and love for each other as well. And if we are so worthy, thank you for blessing us with the light of rain. Please bless us with your presence today. Bridle my tongue and any tongue that speaks. Let it be that we are blessed on the Sabbath day with whatever you choose to bless us with. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Hey, wait, I gotta situate my chair. It's a noisy chair. But what are you gonna do? Okay. All right. I wanna welcome everybody. And we are in, where are we at here? Well, if you want to read along, you know, just go down, scroll down to the fourth question. That's where we're at now. And the question is, well, this study, of course, is lesson 32. And it has to do with hearing the Lord's voice. When you hear his voice, it's titled. And question number four is, to whom does God give the Holy Ghost? And the answer is, thank you, Brother Gorin, Acts chapter 5, verse 32, which is, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. There's a lot of people out there that claim to have the Holy Spirit. And just by their fruits alone. And this is why Jesus said what he said in regards to by their fruits you shall know them. We're not judging them. Because a lot of people say, oh, you're just judging these people. Do I judge a drunk when he walks up to me wobbling and smelling of alcohol and slurring his speech? No, he's telling me he's drunk. No judgments needed. Just a wise understanding of the signs of the fruits, if you will. And so, but the key phrase in this passage in regards to, you know, the Holy Ghost, to whom does God give the Holy Ghost to, is of course obedience. But yet every Christian I meet claims to have the Holy Spirit. Every single one. Especially now the Roman Catholic Pentecostal people who claim to speak in tongues via the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Problem is, every one of these Christians don't obey him. None of them do. Now I understand the mark of the beast isn't being enforced yet, but soon it will be. We know they are already in regards to what Trump did on May 4th, that actually made it easier for what Bush did on July 7th of 2006. But even though they're all Sunday keepers and they disobey God, unless they are taught using a real Bible, the Lord's going to weaken their ignorance. But they also embrace all sorts of false doctrines. That you don't have to be a theologian to figure this stuff out. You know, and so they refuse to obey God. And seeing how the verse says God only gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him, we know who has the Holy Spirit of God and who does not. Well, we know who doesn't have it, okay? It's a little easier in that respect because we can have people in our own number that walk as we do and talk as we do and believe as we do, but they may decide one day to, you know, party hardy with all the skeletons in their closet and go back to their old ways. And we're none the wiser because it's, see, this is one of the difficulties of not having a brick and mortar church. Well, we do, but not in the U.S. But the Lord has us scattered the way he does because of the latter rain is going to be coming soon, I hope, and I pray. We all do, of course. And so we are strategically scattered all throughout this nation to go forth and with a loud cry, as we already started doing. And this is one of the reasons you see them pushing ahead with the religious laws, because we know how the prophecies are lined up. We know that what we do forces them to start passing Sunday laws to try to shut us up. They, of course, won't say it's to shut us up. They'll say it's to stop the calamities. I mean, this is one of the reasons the popes keep pushing the climate change thing. John Paul II started it with his global warming when he got together with Al Gore. And so that's going to be there. And this is why, you know, those that study prophecy know exactly what's going on here. When you look at how they keep saying global warming, yet you don't even have to be a scientist now to show that they're wrong. I mean, just the fact that Al Gore said that the polar ice cap would be gone by 2016, and not only is it still here, it's growing at a phenomenal rate. But they ignore that stuff because they have to. They have no choice. They put their eggs in that one basket, and they got to keep carrying the basket. There's nothing they could do about it. That's why they changed it from global warming to just plain climate change. But they keep talking about global warming like they did recently. So anyway, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 to 21, and this pertains to what's one of the reasons I went in that direction. He says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now, if you stop there for a minute, there's a bunch of Christians out there that hate us and attack us, slander us, and declare themselves Christians. And so how is that not denying Jesus as Lord here? When he says, "Therefore, all these things whatsoever you would that men do to you, do even so to them." So I guess they want us to slander them and attack them and say a bunch of lies about. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. That's what they're talking about. Jesus goes on to say that you should enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. In other words, everybody else is doing it that way. Amen. Just look at Noah's Ark. "And many there be which go in thereat," he said. So going on, he says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." And I like the way he likes to use, these are all sanctuary symbols too, by the way, like the gate and that, which we'll get in later on when I finish the series. Because, you know, speaking of the sanctuary gate, there's only one gate, there's only one entrance, there's only one way to God. Even though like people like Oprah and everybody else says, "Well, there's many ways to God." You know, sorry, there's only one way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one gets to the Father except through him." So that's just the way it's going to have to be. But they can deny that all they want. They can rewrite the Bible all they want. That doesn't mean they're right, because we know by their fruits we're going to know them. Those that follow Jesus can proclaim him Lord. Those that claim Jesus as Lord but do what they want are those that Jesus says are just going to give them the lip service anyway. So again, Jesus says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And then he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And this is one of the reasons I brought up the point about Al Gore. And I did that video last week about it, or this, I don't know when I did it. He literally states God told him to preach global warming. So now he's playing the part of a prophet. Because if it's not found in Scripture, whether it's a prophetic statement of something that happened tomorrow or a doctrinal thing, doesn't make any difference. If it's not found in Scripture and you declare God said that you must speak this, then you are a prophet. Problem is, he's a false prophet. Because we all know global warming is a farce. We also know about the reasonings behind the climate change agenda, so that they'll have a reason to be able to legally shut us up without actually targeting us until the day comes to, you know, do the death penalty against us. But inwardly they are ravening wolves, and we all know this. So anyway, he goes on to say that you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? In other words, you don't go to a thorn bush to get grapes, and you don't go to a thistle bush to get figs. Thistles, I guess, is more or less the same thing, I would think. I don't know. Anyway, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Isn't that a prophetic symbol? Men being trees, and a lot of people, just the regulars that follow the men, you know, the green grass. Grass in prophecy is people, as well as many waters, too. I mean, there's all sorts of prophetic symbols for people. So, and he goes on to say that even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And see, this is why, like when some people will send me emails, oh, you got to put this guy's video on your website, or you got to take this guy's sermon and put it on one of your videos and stuff like that. So, well, look, I cannot do that because half the time they're sending me people that are Sunday keepers, and so I can't promote, I can't yoke unequally, and it's a corrupt tree. I cannot put forth evil fruit from our pulpits. And even if it's SDA, even though they, like, let's just say it's a guy that's a Seventh-day Adventist preacher, and he's out there doing what he's doing, and he's kind of sounds like he's 90% on the same page as we do. But the fact that he still claims the SDA name declares we can't join with him because of, you know, the image of the beast prophecy, which if you point out, by the way, I'm going to be sharing it. I just got an email. And the last question that's asked of me has to do with the 501c3. And then right when I was answering that question, I got another email from a preacher. I'm not going to say his name because he's mainstream and I don't want to. That's not my calling. He literally answers the question as to why he has a 501c3. And you're not going to believe what he says. It's the last one I'm going to share in today's Q&A. But it's not good. Let's just put it that way. And he is SDA. And so I cannot join with them, and this is why it's strange how they want us to do all this stuff. And these people that approach and say, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to put this out there, you got to put that out there. But even if they were 99.999%, they're still not on the same page with us. And I understand we're not all knowing, just like they're not all knowing. But the key here is this: disobedience is going to generate confusion, especially in the prophetic end of things. The fact they have joined their church with the state means we cannot join with them. And it also means they can't understand prophecy. Sure, they can echo the old standards that have been out there for over a century now, because it's in writing. All you got to do is read it, put it in your own words, and you're out there, and all of a sudden you're a super preacher. You understand everything about prophecy. But hey, tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. Or how about this? Tell me what that article means in the newspaper. Or why did Trump remove the IRS, you know, clause on the 501c3? Why didn't he just get rid of the whole 501c3 like they were all saying he was going to do before he became president? Why did we say the opposite? He's not going to get rid of the 501c3. He's going to rewrite it. He has to keep it as is because we understand prophecy. It's not going, you can't change that prophecy. It was written by our Father who sees the end from the beginning. So again, Jesus says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, they can claim Jesus Christ as Lord all they want. But if they disobey him, he's not Lord. It's just that simple. That's called lip service. I mean, this is one loaded passage. Jesus speaks of the law and the prophets in the way he does everywhere in the Word of God. So we know what he says. And this, and we know when he says this too, by the way, that this means the law is the Ten Commandments, and the prophets are whatever he commanded them to utter regarding everything from prophetic events to doctrine. And this is why they're called prophets, because a lot of the stuff that they put on paper wasn't spoken or written down yet. And they were declaring it from God, so they were prophets. But then here's where the Berean spirit comes in. Because we've seen people do this in our past as well. They come in with new light. But we're not Muslims. Now, yeah, we can get new light, but it cannot contradict old light like the Quran does, or the Catholic Bible does with their Apocrypha, or even their dogmatic statements from the Vatican itself, where the Pope is supposedly infallible in regards to ecclesiastical statements, or imprimatur statements, you know, let it be written kind of thing. So right off, we know that keeping the law of God is a fruit of a Bible-believing Christian because of how Jesus continues on in that passage. In fact, he then says that obeying him, or by entering the straight gate is something which leadeth to life. And so, again, we know he is speaking of obeying his law because of what he says. Like for example, what he said in through Solomon. Proverbs 7, verse 2. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. And near the end of the passage, Jesus states that the only ones entering into the kingdom are those that obey the Father in heaven. Being students of the Word as well as students of prophecy, we know it says the following in Revelation 22:14, which is also a book never shared on most pulpits today. As a matter of fact, when I left the Catholic Church after a few years wandering around, my wife and I joined a church. It was non-denominational, but it was mostly Baptist, except for the once under grace, always under grace theology. They put that to the ground. They exposed it. They missed all the other ones, but they exposed that one, which I kind of liked because I didn't believe in that one either. But that pastor actually declared we don't have to read the book of Revelation because this was around the time that those VCR tapes were coming around. We actually had one of them. And we had it hanging on our wall in our 1,011-day home. And it had a little hammer hanging from it. It was in a frame with glass in front of it, and it says, in the case of rapture, or the person that owns this picture or VCR tape is missing suddenly, break the glass and put this tape in your VCR. And it was all about being left behind, the secret rapture, seven-year trib stuff, and all that, or falderall. That kind of mindset got this pastor to such an extent where he declared, don't even bother reading Revelation because you're not even going to be here. And I always had an issue with that because I thought, wait a second, it's literally titled Revelation. It's not titled hidden book, secret kind of things or anything. It's not like Daniel's prophecies, which I still didn't realize at that time had already been revealed back in the 1800s. Because I was a Sunday keeper. I was just starting my pulpit thing back then, or his pulpit thing. So anyway, but this is what it says in Revelation. Revelation 22:14, no less. Last chapter. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So there you have it. If they keep his law, they are not only alive due to having access to the tree of life, they also have permission to enter into the city. You know, and soon the mark of the beast is going to be enforced. I mean, the fact that they're doing everything the Bible says they're supposed to do before Jesus gets here, or before the mark is even enforced. I mean, that just what Trump did last month alone should get enough scoffers to start, you know, beating a path to our church doors. But you don't see that, do you? These foot draggers are the ones that are going to, you know, it's going to be difficult, of course, when it comes down to the wire. And especially, let's say, when we're running for our lives, when they start to enforce the mark with the death penalty, when the Gideon Band starts to come forth. And so this is one of the reasons I believe we as a church family go through some of the trials that we do with the people that join our number and infiltrate and try to separate us, cause problems. Because could you imagine if you haven't figured out by the time it's time to flee that you can't trust everybody just because they say they're Christian? You got to know them by their fruits. I mean, seriously, if it wasn't that important, why would Jesus put pen to paper on that one? I mean, why would he even bother wasting his breath saying, this is important, I mean, going into detail and sharing a couple of parables in regards to how it all goes down. You got to know them by the fruits. If it ain't important, why is he bringing it up? And so, but here, the experiences we have as a church family is a blessing that I praise God for. Because I don't know if some of you have noticed that. Well, some of you have, especially the moderators that have approached me over the years. Says, we got to bring this up, or we got to say that. We got to tell the people stop doing this and stop doing that. Because it's causing people to come in and causing problems. I don't know. Some of them have noticed it. Says, I'm not saying anything. I'm done. You know, let them learn the hard way. Because it's, you can keep saying it until it's like you're blue in the face. And yeah, we do repeat it every now and then. Like, I'll repeat it now. Don't give your email address to anybody that you don't know that's in this church. And, it's just as simple as that. Don't make friends with somebody. Well, you can make friends with anybody you want. We're not saying that, but giving your email address out, you got to be very careful because in today's world, it's kind of like your social security number, which is already evil. There's a problem there, but we still have them. It's not the mark of the beast, so of course we know that. But you can give your email address to anybody you want. But you might want to set up a bogus one just in case there's an issue later on because of what we've all seen as a church family over the years is what happens when someone comes in here and they try to push new light, if you will, and try to tell us that there's a new doctrine out there, but it contradicts that which has been already penned in the scriptures. And they get all upset and then they attack us and they start sending out emails to everybody because y'all gave them your email address. And so... But the other, the bad toss on that is sometimes these people do come in and they do make friends and they are very nice and gentle and loving and Christ-like. And they have the fruits because we know you can have the Holy Spirit and you can lose your salvation because we're not Baptists either any more than we're not Muslims. And so some people fall off the path. And now this is what really comes off as extremely strange to me. Is even like when someone falls off the path, some people in the church family leave with them because it was their friend. And so they throw Jesus under the bus to hang with their friend and you know, slap him on the back, say everything's okay, and sing Kumbaya for the next 10 years. And don't realize they just been tricked into leaving the church, when the Bible says you should not forsake the assembly, especially when you say the day coming on, they're talking religiously and politics now. Gore just said God told him to push global warming. Before March 4th, he couldn't say that without getting a huge problem, a huge fine and getting all sorts of problems because he's got a 501c3. He's a politician. You know that guy's tax exempt just like all of them are. And so, but after May 4th, yeah, now he goes out there and says, God told him to go, and he's not a preacher. We all saw what he did the one time. He says, you know, your treasure is where your heart is thing, and he twisted the Bible verse around on you know, when he was running for president. They do this. But now, there's going to be a lot more religious talk in politics because the prophecy is sure it's going to happen. And so soon the mark of the beast is going to be enforced. And if you're not wise to this is one of the reasons we stay in our Bibles daily, pray and pray daily, and seek that perfection in Christ so that we can be part of the Gideon band. And so that when the day comes, let's say that we're fleeing for a cave and we see a young person come up or an old guy come up, it don't matter, and they declare themselves Christians and believers in the faith, are you going to hook, line, and sinker believe them right off the bat? You might have the discernment by then to understand or perceive, as Peter calls it, when he told the one man to get up and stand, it was born disabled. So there's a possibility there because, you know, being the Gideon band, you're going to have a little bit more wisdom than most. But still, what about the days that lead up to that? And you're on your way to the cave or you can't buy and sell. It's even before the death penalty and you can't buy and sell anything because you keep Sabbath. If you don't know them by their fruits, it's going to be easy for you to be manipulated away or pulled away, just like we've seen people leave the church They leave because their friend was insulted. Well, truth does that to people sometimes. It does insult them because they don't have the truth in them. And this is why they get very upset when you try to share it with them. So again, the mark of the beast is going to be enforced soon, and all those Christians who, out of ignorance, keep Sunday holy, will embrace God's law and be counted worthy citizens of heaven because of the work we do. And this is why they have to enforce the mark. They have to try to shut us up because Satan wants everybody to follow him. And the only way he can figure out to do it is push Sunday laws. And the only way to get pushed to Sunday laws is go by climate change. Because he can't just out and out say, look, we are going to target a specific people, you know, kind of like what the Muslims do, and we're going to have them, you know, we're going to kill them. Yeah, I mean, eventually they will say, yeah, kill us. But this is one of the reasons you see stuff like Kathy Griffin lifting the head up the president, you know, decapitated, or the guy going in shooting up at the baseball game or the practice. Our nation's being brainwashed by Satan. That's why you got the violent music, the violent video games, the violent movies. Everybody's getting prepared to stand in line on the day of Armageddon to surround us and kill us. And it's just like that video I did a while ago where they actually talked about pay-per-view executions. It's a moneymaker. You know how many people would stand in line to pay to watch someone executed on camera? You couldn't. It would have to be done online. There's no way you can do it at a certain venue because the lines would be... you can't get a Coliseum that big or a stadium. Well, I still call them Coliseums because we know what they're all about. It's just Rome's way of advertising and mass. But there are going to be people that are going to gain heaven by the truth we present in the loud cry, which has already begun. And so continue doing the work. But the rest that refuse to obey the Lord, they're going to be found worthy of death. Because that's what the prophecy says. That's what the truth says. And so I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.